Rye Signs, Rye X, beziehungsweise Rye Cumming und Frank Wiedemann haben sich zu diesem Projekt ja zusammengetan, nachdem der erste Song Howling so erfolgreich war. Heute Abend spielt Rye, den man eben als Solokünstler, aber auch als Partner von Frank Wiedemann und dem Projekt Howling oder als Mitglied von The Acid kennt, in der Volksbühne, und jetzt ist er bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen über die unzähligen Kollaborationen und finden raus, warum Rye so gern auf verschiedenen Hochzeiten tanzt. Wir reden über Pläne für eine in diesem Jahr noch erscheinende Soloplatte unter Umständen. Wir sprechen aber auch über schlechte Erfahrungen im Musikbusiness und darüber, wie man diese für sich nutzen kann. Und wir quatschen über vieles, vieles mehr. Zunächst aber sage ich Hello and welcome to Flux FM, Rye.
Hello, thanks for having me. How are you doing? I'm really good. Yeah, cool. I'm very happy to be back in Berlin.
Yeah, you've been on the road for a long time, or what was that?
It feels like a very long time, yeah.
So no, where are you coming from?
I've been basing myself back in California for a little while.
Okay.
Just because it's too cold a little bit in Berlin.
I wish I would have these choices, man. You know my radio show, I sent it from California, Southern California, actually, during the wintertime, because Berlin sucks.
Yeah, no, it doesn't suck. It's beautiful, but I need the balance, personally, yeah.
Cool. And so you've been writing stuff there? Because I've been reading, that actually would be my last question, but I've been reading about plans for putting out an Rye X solo album this year, maybe.
Yeah, it's a lot to work on the different projects, but I've now that I've, Frank and I are putting out Howling album, my attention and energy goes to Rye X, and the plan is after this tour in Europe to go back to California and to really write and focus more on the Rye X record, hopefully to release something maybe later this year. We see.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I don't like to make too many plans. It's dangerous.
Yeah, that's true. When one's looking at all the projects you're involved in, one realizes that you do love to collaborate. Actually, you seem to start making music with every second human being that you're meeting.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean,
why is that? Where's that coming from?
If you don't collaborate as an artist, sometimes you get stuck or you get... You close your mind, you know, and it's very important to open up to the idea of other entities in the art world and other energies. Like, you know, Frank is very different to Steve and Adam from The Acid, they bring out and mirror different parts of yourself.
Yeah.
So I find myself as the same person, the same artist, but in different iterations, different sides of myself.
Yeah, and it's interesting to meet people who don't open up the doors to another world, which happened with Steve and Adam, right? When they opened the door to a deep house, electronic kind of world that you weren't necessarily part of before.
Yeah, I mean, you know, through Frank, I really started to get into the kind of minimal scene and deep house and techno, and I fell in love with it. So it's a big influence of mine now. But bringing that influence over to The Acid a little bit more than maybe they used to, with like a kind of more backbeat oriented breaks and stuff or hip hop, and it's a really special thing to get to push each other and emotionally as people. As friends, as brothers and human beings in the world, but very much as artists. And, you know, the thing is, for me, I love many different types of music.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be restricted to making one type of music or be seen as, you know, I'm not a singer-songwriter. I'm not a producer. I'm many different things. So I like to do many different things.
Yeah, and that's, I love the fact that you're trying to be that free, you know, because so many people... As soon as they get a record deal, they're starting to compromise with the label, and they'd be like, "Okay, if you want to, I could do a whole album with this and that style."
I mean, you have to go through your experience as an artist, and there's nothing that's right and wrong, but following your heart and your blood, you know, listening to what you're saying underneath your own skin, and I mean, to be honest, I've turned down all the labels and all the deals because. I just want to make the music I really want to make and then find the people that want to share it.
Yeah.
You know, this is a relationship with a label, with your friends, with radios. I mean, it's beautiful to come into Flux and see faces I know and to feel like you create family and community everywhere you go. This is why you live now.
Yeah. But I mean, you talk like a wise man about those things right now. And I really think that has to do with the fact that you made bad experiences with the record.
Yeah.
Back in the zero years, like at the beginning of the 2000s, you already I went into deals and then realized, oh, it's not my thing, right?
Yeah, I think the hardest thing is saying no. The first time you learn how to create boundary.
Yeah.
And for me, within the music industry, I was very young and free, coming from Australia, and naive, you know. And then I had to learn how to create boundary and get people to understand and respect who I am. On a raw level, not like who people want me to be.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Still, it's the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
People hear Berlin in the charts or whatever, and they go, "Oh well, he could be like Lord, or he could be like." And it's like, guys, you know, this is not me. I want to go make some techno right now.
And it's so cool.
And that's okay.
And it's a wise decision. I can tell you, because you're gonna be pleased with what you've done in 10 or 20 years. You'll be looking back and you'll be like, yeah, I did what I wanted to do.
Yeah, and that's what in general life, I think if you make the right decisions, you're proud of your decisions and you learn from your mistakes and be compassionate and loving to yourself.
Before we talk a bit more, let's listen to another song.
Yeah.
Let's listen to a song that you're definitely going to play tonight at Volksbühne, I guess.
This venue is amazing.
Have you played there before?
No, of course not. And to sell it out and to play the big room there, it's just very humbling.
It's beautiful, right? And it has this beautiful, I mean, you can basically whisper on stage and people in the last row will be able
perfect
to understand you, right? Let's listen to Sweat. Hier ist Rye X heute Abend in der Volksbühne, jetzt gleich noch ein bisschen bei mir im Studio. Und wir verlosen auch noch die allerletzten Tickets für die Show heute Abend. Mit Sweat heute Abend am 13.02. auf der Bühne der Volksbühne zu erleben. Wir haben gerade schon rausgefunden, dass das ein toller Ort ist und dass sich Rye schon sehr, sehr auf diesen Ort freut. What I love about your music, Rye, is the fact that it's kept raw. It's not overproduced or something in times of overcompressed computer music. That's like a relief for the ears. You know, everything's going, everybody wants to be the loudest. You just want to make beautiful music. You don't care about overcompression too much. But when did you realize that keeping it as live as possible was your cup of tea?
It came from listening back in a studio context to what were demos, you know,
okay.
And listening to a demo and suddenly feeling emotionally connected to it, feeling like I've translated exactly what I wanted to say.
Okay, the magic of the demo in comparison to the produced song.
Yeah, not even a demo, just like that song Sweat was recorded in a bathroom. And the guitar was sitting on the shelf of the bathroom and there was no guitar strap, you know, and I was singing into the corner of the room because I liked the way that it sounded, and we put a microphone up and I didn't listen again to the song for 2 or 3 months. It wasn't like, let's record something and put it out. We just were recording, and then a few months later I listened to it and I just said, there's something special in this. Let's just you know, put an organ behind it and we release it. And it's hard to do that in the modern pop realm.
Yeah. And another thing, when a label would be like, no, come on, we'll pay for the studio.
Right. Or you should work with this producer because they did this song it made it sound like this. But ultimately, as an artist, I guess if I can share anything, is just to be really true to what you are as an artist, because that's your role.
Yeah.
If you're not being truthful to yourself as a human being or an artist, you're not connecting to the essence of something.
Yeah.
And then you give away
so much power about your art, you give so much power about your art away to the record company as soon as they are able to. Jump into the decision and say, let's do it like this and like that, right? It's like if they were part of the band or something.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where they come from as well. I understand I've spent enough time seeing the industry, but and I have respect for it. But I also just think you need to make sure that the art itself, the song, is in a beautiful place, and then you can give that to a label and they can share it. And that's a balance of roles and relationships.
Yeah.
It just takes communication.
Yeah.
And,
sure.
But it can be very delicate, and it's a dangerous, scary position for artists sometimes. But I also believe in letting things go once they're there. You know, a song like Sweat or anything, the Howling album with Frank, we just made a record. It's not perfect for some people, but it's what we want to share, and that's what matters.
Yeah. And people are hungry for sounds like yours nowadays, I have the feeling, because they've had enough of super optimized music and compressed styles, I think. So
yeah, I think there's always a place. I mean, you look at the history of music, and there's always a place for intimacy and rawness, nakedness, and there's also a place for a really well-produced techno.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, but it just, whoever you are at that point, it's important to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so this is who I am right now. Maybe in a few years I want to make a record that sounds as good as Michael Jackson's Thriller, and it takes me 3 years to do, but that's, right now I just want to record sketchy, scratchy things on tape.
No, I really think that, I mean, so many musicians talk about the magic of a demo recording. When they go into the studio, they listen to the demo, they be like, wow, I get the feeling of the song when I listen back to it. And then they produce the same song. They're not even overproducing it. They're just using the instruments that are there in the studio. And then the magic of the demo, of the first take, that it can be gone, right? So I really understand why you are into first takes and recording stuff raw.
Yeah.
Because that's where the magic happens sometimes.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can make a magical album with a good producer and a big studio as well.
Of course.
Yeah.
There's no rules.
No.
But it's about that getting to a place where you can actually hear and understand what is good and what is not, and know what is powerful.
Mm. At tonight's show, I mean, you've been with so many, you've been with The Howling, you've been with The Acid, you have your own songs. Are you going to incorporate some Acid songs or Howling songs into the set tonight, or is it just going to be Ry-X, you alone on stage?
It's Ry-X. I have two other guys with me.
Cool.
But, you know, I try to treat the projects as individual things. We cross-pollinate and we share and we're all friends and family, but Ry-X is much more intimate, you know?
So
tonight is about the rawness of who I am, I guess. I'm walking on stage in The Acid, we have these beautiful projections and visual shows, and Howling, we have, you know, our friends of ours collaborated with us on a beautiful organic light show, but Ry-X is like candles on stage and
lovely
and intimacy. And so, you know, of course there's songs like Howling and stuff that I play as Ry-X because they're still still Ry-X songs.
Yeah.
But it's really about the nakedness of it. And there'll be some new songs. So I'm going to play some new things that I've been writing. And
yes.
Yeah. Berlin will be the first show of the tour, so it's
cool.
Actually, it will be the first show that I ever play some of these new songs.
So you're going to road test a few new songs.
Yeah.
It sounds like a rock band, right?
Yeah.
Road testing the songs.
Yeah, I'm not very good at road testing. But I will share it. And you know, what happens when you play a song for the first time is it changes. Suddenly there's a mirror of the people listening and the song feels different. And you know whether or not you connect.
Yeah. And we'll see which of those songs are going to be on the next Ry-X album.
Yeah.
It's probably going to come out this year, maybe.
Yeah, we hope. I mean, you know, there's no labels and deadlines, so it's a little bit more free, but I'm working towards that.
Cool.
2015, yeah.
Cool. That would be so nice. Ry, I want to thank you for visiting us.
Thanks for having me.
And I want to
me.
Give away the last tickets for tonight's show.
Oh, wow.
We have two more. Wer also heute Abend zu Ry-X möchte in die ansonsten ausverkaufte Volksbühne, der ruft mich jetzt an unter 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Und wer durchkommt, der bekommt die letzten Tickets für Ry-X heute Abend in der Volksbühne. Ry, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Pleasure being here.
We'll see each other again pretty soon.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the new record or anything else.
Yeah, and Dankeschön to Berlin and to the support and love here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They'll be there later on. See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.